Hey Fadies, Dee and Brad here. Happy, happy holidays, and thanks for joining us for the fourth exciting installment of our Surge story. Before the recap, just want to say thank you to all the people who've joined us over on the Necropodicon Discord server to hang out and chat with us, and thanks to everybody who has reviewed us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Podchaser. Those are all really cool things to do. Also, some folks have expressed a little confusion about the Surge story, so if you need any questions answered, I highly recommend just getting in touch with me via whatever way works for you to ask what you need to know, or head on over to our wiki, ison.fandom.com. There's a lot of answers right there at your fingertips. Okay, now the recap. Last time, Kydron, Rad, and Sasha found themselves on a stone pathway floating in an infinite starry sky. They tried to gain their bearings, then passed through a golden portal. On the other side, they fought a trio of hostile hippogriffs, before passing through another portal and coming face to face with a polite but definitely adversarial purple unicorn.
Are we rolling initiative or like...
Yep, you sure are.
Because Sasha would be ready to prove her worth. In some kind of way. Shit, yeah, I rolled a net 20 again. Oh, I'm rolling, huh? Yeah.
I've got 11.
Okay. Sasha, Kydron, Rad, Unicorn.
What do you do? Like I have no idea what I'm gonna
do. The neck just because he wants you to.
Just feels gross, doesn't it?
Yeah. I reckon throw an orange at him.
I cast Chromatic Orb.
Okay.
And I choose Lightning.
Alrighty. Do you have to make a spell attack?
Yeah, I have to make a ranged spell attack. Ooh, now I'm not rolling good. Typical. That is an 11.
Okay, your Chromatic Orb just shoots right past it.
Cool.
It turns its head to sort of follow the path of the orb and then looks back at you, almost amused.
Yeah. What a dick. I would be too, with that shit a roll. Bloody four. What was that about? Who's up?
Kydron.
I'll cast Firebolt, so cantrip at it. So that's two... So I have to do an attack thing, so it's 19.
Okay, yep, that's a hit.
And then, nice, and then 2d10, so that's 7 plus 9, 16 damage.
Cool, and Rad?
Rad just hangs out, he still thinks this is silly.
Fair enough.
The so unicorn's just... probably not even real, right?
Yeah, so do you just take the dodge action?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Right, then it's the unicorn's turn. And let's see.
God damn it, I knew it, I had magic. Seems right for reading, a unicorn.
I'm just reading some of my options.
Yeah, if you have to read, it means it's not super just stab.
yeah.
We're saying Rad's in front of me this time, right? Because he went first.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Rad's at the front, and you two are somewhere behind. The three of you, I need you to all roll a strength saving throw, please.
Shit. 16.
16.
Oh.
Okay.
Fudge my knuckles. I rolled a 3 and my strength saving throw is -1. So.
Okay. Cool. Ooh, so the first two, you are fine. So what happens is from underneath the path, some like purple vines and weeds and like plants just shoot out and then start whipping around and grabbing at feet and ankles, but Kydron and Rad, you manage to not get all tangled up in them. Sasha, however, you are entangled by purple vines grabbing at your legs and ankles.
That means I can't move.
Correct. You need to use your... If you want to move, you need to use your turn to make a strength check to try and escape.
Yeah, because I'm not grappled, I'm just entangled.
Can you still use ranged weapons and spells?
Yes, I'd say there's no reason you couldn't.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That went terribly, and that was my second level spell. Guess I just do it again. Yeah, because that's really not very exciting. Sure. I'm going to do it again. Try again.
Another firebolt cantrip.
And another,
Agnazar Scorcher?
Yeah, that one.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, also, why am I rolling? It's your dex save.
It needs to roll a dex save.
Yeah, dumbass.
And it's a... 16.
Yeah, it passes.
Okay.
So it only takes 8 plus 7 is 15.
Well, that's still a pretty hefty hit, so...
So, no, sorry, that 15 is the total roll. Yeah.
Alright, so it halves that. Okay.
Yeah.
What's that tapping? What are you doing?
Who's tapping? No? Okay. Yeah, because you know everything gets picked up on audio, right? And it'll all end up on the podcast.
It's definitely ending up in my ears.
I think it's my mouth.
Yep.
Wow.
Cool. You did it, fam. Well, it's an aluminium unibody, so it's just picking up the same, the mic as well.
Yeah. Cool.
Cool. That's... Okay. So it took that damage from your Agnazar Scorcher, 5-foot line of fire.
When I want to roll to try and get out of it, is that the beginning of my turn or the end of my turn, or can I just do that whenever?
That is your turn.
I want to try and get out of it.
Yep. Cool. It's your main action.
Yeah.
Okay, and now Kydron.
I'm just going to do another firebolt.
Okay.
Because why not? So that's a 13 to hit.
Yep, that's a hit.
Okay. So that's 10. Oh, you bastards. Sorry. 10 plus 2, 12 damage.
Okay. 12 damage and red.
Can I try and pull what's her face out of the tentacles?
I like that. I don't know a good mechanic in which to do that, so I will just give... I'll get you to roll an athletics check.
Okay. I'm also going to try and use my swords to do it, so it doesn't need to purely be a strength situation, but I can roll athletics, that's fine.
Yep.
21.
Okay. I'd say, that's easily enough to pull her free. So on her turn, she's no longer restrained.
Alright.
Cool. So far, Rad has taken no action against the unicorn.
Yeah.
You've just shown that you're a noble person. You're waiting back to get all the facts, and you're helping your friends. That's Rad's nature.
He's a fighter that doesn't fight.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's confused because this thing doesn't speak any of his languages. And nothing here seems quite real.
Which is
but also that stuff.
Cool. Good thing you pulled me out, because it turns out restrained, which I hadn't looked at before, is attack rolls with disadvantage, so that sucks.
Cool. So it is then going to run charging full tilt into battle along the path. So 4 thundering hooves coming at, I guess, Rad. At his back.
No idea.
Okay, so... it's going to start with a horn attack. Which is a 21 to hit.
Yeah, that hits me, right? What's my armor class is 15.
Yep, so that's for 10 piercing. And I'll also get you to roll a... roll a strength save. DC 15.
Oh, that was a 1.
Okay, yeah, you get knocked prone.
Alright, sucks.
Yep, and while you're prone, it's going to then stomp you with its hooves. But it misses.
Alright.
Just stomps the path right next to your head. And you hear this in your head, you hear.
I imagine I can't spend a riposte based on that miss.
Yeah, correct. You're not in a position to do that. Sasha.
You're out of position to stab in the belly.
It would be pretty close to me too, this point. Yes. And I'm not in the bloody thing anymore. What's the best thing to do here? I'm gonna create a bonfire underneath it.
Is create bonfire, is that an attack spell? Like, can that be used for damage?
Any creature spell? In the bonfire's space when you cast the spell must succeed on a dexterity saving throw or take 1d8 fire damage. And if
aren't you also in its...
It's only a 5-foot cube, so technically okay. It's only the space that it takes up.
Okay, that's fine. You light a fire under its belly, which might get red.
Yeah.
My rad's been burned by Sasha today. Well, the Sasha tan.
Yeah.
Rad, how much do you hate Sasha?
So, you've got to do a dexterity saving throw, please. It's DC 15.
Okay. That's a fail.
So I also failed it. I don't know that you would be, because you don't have to be in the 5-foot square to fight it. Usually you're adjacent to.
Yeah, it just tried to stomp on his head, but look, I'm gonna be friendly, nice DM, and say, Rad, you are not affected by this bonfire.
Okay. It takes seven. Seven fire damage. And then if it ends its turn in the same square, it takes it again. So
okay, you know. Cool. Sweet. And Kydron. It's standing in fire.
Yeah, and Rad's kind of right next to it, eh?
Yeah.
Hanging out.
Yeah, doing your thing. I'm thinking I might enlarge you, Rad, and then you can try and just push this thing off the path. Do you reckon? Just jump up, shoulder charge this thing.
Won't it just come straight back down again?
But it'll come down with a splat.
And Brad, I just realized that it's actually 2d8 at my level. It's 1d8 at lower levels, so it's actually 2 more, please.
2 more damage?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Amateur hour.
That's fine. That's fine.
So Brad, if you're down, I'll enlarge you. So you are now basically your size doubles in all directions and your weight is multiplied by 8. This growth, so you're now a large creature.
Mega Rad. He's Mega Rad.
You also have until the spell ends, strength checks and strength saving throw. The target's weapons also grow and you do an extra 1d8 damage. But I think you'd be big enough to push a unicorn off a path.
Am I big enough that I can't possibly stay on this path? Just quietly.
No, you've gone up to size large, which is the same size as the unicorn.
Oh, alright. Well, I'm still prone by the unicorn.
Get some momentum because you're growing.
Can I get up and attack it at once, or do I have to spend my turn getting up?
You can spend your movement getting up, but you will provoke an attack of opportunity in doing so.
Alright, well, I don't have any choice, so I'll do that. I'll get up.
Okay, so you get to your feet and it tries to get you with its horn and misses. So that's fine.
Alright, Oh, I might as well spend a riposte there. I'm going to spend a thing and get a riposte on it.
Okay.
Oh, I'm not rolling well today. Yeah, I think that's a miss. 5 plus whatever it is for me to hit. 5 plus 6, 11.
Yeah, that's a miss.
Alright. Is my sword little or is it big?
That's big.
Nice.
Extra 1d4 damage.
Big sword.
I'm a big sword boy. This whole situation just still seems really dumb, but I'm only the same size as this horsey, right? So I can't like really overpower it.
You could at least contest with it.
You're pretty strong.
Alright, I'm gonna unarm strike it, why not?
Instead of hitting it with your sword, you're gonna try and attack it.
Can I try and pick it up? Would I be able to lift it?
Grapple check.
You could try and grapple it by making a contested athletics check.
Alright, let's do that.
Is that a strength based one?
Pardon?
Is that strength based?
Yes.
So he has advantage.
Okay.
What, do I have advantage? Oh,
hide
okay.
The spell.
Right. Okay, so I rolled 14 plus 6. It's 20.
Okay, yeah, it rolled a 6.
Right.
So you definitely grapple it, so you've managed to grab a good hold of it. What do you want to do with it?
Oh, we've changed systems, haven't we? In the previous system, I had an ability called Throw Anything.
Yep.
Because we were playing Pathfinder 1.
But yeah, I'll just try and, heave it off the side of the path.
Okay, yep. So your first action was to grapple it.
Yeah.
Your second action, that's definitely going to be another athletics check.
You've got advantage on.
Actually, I'm going to make this one an unarmed strike because you are trying to harm it now.
Oh, holding it there, right?
Yeah. You've got advantage. This is fucked
up. I've got advantage. Okay.
Yep.
So. So I rolled an 11.
With advantage?
I rolled a 5 plus 6 to hit with advantage.
Okay.
My second roll was a 1.
Yeah. So you're grappling it and you try to hurl it off this pathway, but you can't generate enough force to actually move it out of place.
Okay. So is that my two attacks or is that
That's your two attacks.
All right, cool.
But it is now grappled by you, so everyone else has advantage against it anyway.
Love it.
And it's now the unicorn's turn, and it's going to
get grappled.
I didn't expect this unicorn to get grappled. Let's see, what's it going to do while grappled?
As I said, I've got pretty good animal handling, so...
Yeah. <That comes. laughs> it's just going to try and attack you. With its hooves and its horn, it misses with the hooves, but it manages to stab you with the horn with a 21. So I'm going to say right in the throat, just pierces you for 12 piercing damage with the horn, straight into your throat or your clavicle area.
Okay. Does that break the grapple?
No.
All right, good.
And now it's Sasha's turn.
I'm gonna check this.
I'm very confused. And I think I'm just gonna fire a first level burning hands.
Okay. Normally it has advantage on magical saving throws. Just because that's what a unicorn has. But
yeah.
But now it doesn't because it's being grappled.
Okay, cool. So
what is
15.
That for? Okay, that's a 19.
Yeah. I figured as much. I just don't want to blow my third level spells. I feel like that would be bad at this point. So a 6 plus 5 is 11. 13. 13 divided by 2, 12. 6. 13 divided by 2, and I was like, 6, because it's 12, because you round down. That's what I was thinking in my head, but what came out was 12.
13 divided by 2 is 12. This has been brought to you by the public education system.
I was thinking about the rounding down, okay?
Okay, speaking of someone with high intelligence, it's Kydron's turn.
Who is just going to do another fireball, because they are...
This is a very fire-based party. I like it.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah, always
on fire,
has been.
Youth of fire.
Just a 12 to hit.
That's a hit. I mean, you got advantage against it, so you could theoretically roll to see if you get even better.
Well, nah, it's a hit, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Then I'll do 10 plus 1, 11 damage.
Okay, so you just shoot a firebolt, just a little ball of fire flings out from you and hits the side of it.
Yep.
Okay, and Rad, while grappling this thing.
I'm going to try to check it off again. I'm gonna see if it's
okay.
18 to hit.
Yep.
Do you want me to roll damage, or?
Nope. So what happens is you throw it off the edge of this pathway, and we end initiative order because about 15 to 20 seconds goes by. And now I want all of you to roll a dex save.
Yep.
Yeah, no. So we would get out of the way in that 20 seconds.
I just want you to remember I held concentration on the bonfire, so that's still burning on the bridge right now.
So, okay, let's distract you.
Oh, so it needs to take damage from the bonfire from its last turn. How much?
No,
damage?
No, because it wasn't in it. It would have been on the square next to it, above in the air.
Okay. Okay.
But it is so still burning in that square.
Yeah, okay. So what are these deck saves?
24 with a natural 20.
I heard a 13 and a 24.
Yeah. I'm 13.
10 for Kydron. Okay. Sasha is fine. She leaps out the way. But Kydron and Rad are not as lucky, as a unicorn body plummets. Oh, it's still alive. You see its legs like sort of galloping in the air as it falls.
Oh, horrible.
And
what a way to go.
You and the unicorn all take 14 bludgeoning damage, and the unicorn
Ow!
Splatters to pieces.
Alright, I've taken a lot of damage.
That's
wait, does my size affect this damage?
I don't know.
Nah.
I've got the same hit points.
He hasn't got any resistance to bludgeoning or something like that. Yeah.
Protection from ponies.
Protection from ponies.
So we'll be like covered in unicorn guts and shit too now.
Yep. Apart from me, I'm fine.
You're
somehow
thoroughly bruised.
Yeah. So after that, Kydron's going to pull out one of his healing potions and scale that back.
I'm on 3, by the way.
So you're going to need another healing potion?
At least.
Yeah, he is our tank. That is a problem.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll give you one more.
I've got.
What did I roll?
I've 24, got one.
24 plus 2. See. So maybe we try and have a rest now, guys. I don't know if we're going to be able to now that we've started blowing up unicorns and shit, but. Worth a try. I could bust out the Liam.
Oh yeah, do we hear like and like the gold portal opens?
Yeah, so a few feet away from you on the path, another portal opens that is the same shape as the golden ones from earlier, but this one's it's a lot more dull, it's less vibrant. It's not so much golden as it's more of like a stained or tainted, like brassy brown colour.
Yeah, we were meant to kill the fucking unicorn.
It's a bit late for that now.
Puts the unicorn through the portal.
Grab the horn. Is the horn still in one piece?
Roll investigation check.
good at investigating.
Actually, unicorn horn is like super magical properties, yeah, and as a wizard, you would know that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm all after this. I want this.
23? Unicorn. Yeah, you find the horn amongst its guts.
Yeah, mate. I stick that in the old backpack.
You have a unicorn horn now.
Fucking A. How big was it?
The horn.
Yeah.
I'd say about 12 to 14 inches long.
Oh.
Like a Subway sandwich, basically.
That's a super decent horn.
Yeah. That's epic. Yep, wicked. So before we jump into the other portal, should we just have a bit of a chillax for a bit?
I was gonna say, I don't know if resting for 8 hours makes us very worthy.
Oh, okay.
You still have to go through the portal if it's brown.
Well, I have a feeling, we'll eventually get to where we're going, right?
Like, what about a short rest? What does a short rest give you again?
You can spend healing hit dice.
You can spend healing dice. Yeah.
All right, let's do a short rest.
Should we do that?
For an hour.
9 out of 39, so it's not great.
How many dice did you roll to not get many points back?
I rolled
2d4 plus 2, so it's not much.
Oh, I gave you another one, I said.
Okay. I'll do another one. We'll see where we are. I'm using a d6, but I keep hitting sixes. Here we go, there's a 4. 2 fours. Okay, so that gives me 10 back. So much 19.
Okay.
That's right.
Slightly.
Yeah, but in our short rest. So how many hit points can you spend?
Up to your level.
Right. Oh, actually, okay, I'll spend one. It's D6.
Yeah, for a wizard, it's D6.
Okay, sweet. All right, well, one hit dice takes me back to that. And do I get any spells back in a short rest?
I don't know. That's up to whatever feats and intelligence you have.
Oh, yeah. No, I can.
You might have arcane recovery or something.
I do, yeah. You can choose expended spell slots up to a combined level of 3. Oh, Minta. That's a cracker. One anyway. Alright, sweet. Okay, so Brad, how are you feeling after that?
I'm on 27 of 39. Fuck it, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, how long have we been in here with my mage armor? It's been 8 hours.
When you cast the mage armor before the hippogriffs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's only been half an hour, or if that.
Okay.
It's not been. Oh, and plus your rest would have been an hour just now, so.
Yeah, it's just took ages.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so how long is Rad enlarged for?
Oh, yeah, he's still enlarged.
Only up to a minute, so no.
Okay, no.
Brad dives back to his regular delightful shape. Alright, should we go through this dirty portal? Brad's attempt at a safe sex metaphor. You're on mute if you're trying to say something.
Yeah, I was waiting for you guys. So I'm spending all 5 of my sorcery points to give myself an extra 3rd level spell. Using Font of Magic, one of my features.
Okay. You do you. I'm not looking at
extra slot or recover one.
No, I can gain an extra spell slot, and there's a table on it. So in order to gain a 3rd level spell slot, I have to spend all 5 of my sorcery points. So
yeah. That's wicked though.
Yeah.
Of course, sorcerers. Cool. All right, so we're going to jump through this portal.
Okay, Kydron's leading the way.
Oh, hang on. Kydron doesn't want to be the first one jumping down because he's a fucking meat.
What the fuck is going on with Julia? Is she dead?
Sorry, I was coughing and I had myself on mute. Sasha's happy to go first again with the claws out, if that works for you guys.
Yeah. Kydron will go last because.
Wait, so we've had three things that were 50% horse, one thing that's 100% horse. So
I don't know if they were horse. They probably were more something else.
Hippogriff is what happens when a griffin fucks a horse.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a griffin's still part lion, right? So it's like lion horse. So it's like third horse.
I feel like it's a quarter lion, a quarter eagle, and half horse.
Okay, we're going with that. All right.
Anyway,
so how many horse fractions are we expecting in this?
Yeah. That little centaur's coming.
We can't have one.
Yeah.
It can't all be horse.
I think two centaurs.
Yeah, right.
And a dwarf.
Two centers and a dwarf? Sounds like a TV. Yeah, sounds like a TV series.
I'm putting two gold pieces on two centers and a dwarf as we walk through the portal.
You try to walk through the portal, but it is solid. You can't pass through it. But you hear a kindly woman's voice, sort of. Just this voice in your head that just says, "The world unseen of things desired, the mind's own realm by hope inspired."
Do we have to kill this unicorn some more? It seems pretty dead. I think we have to eat the unicorn.
The world unseen.
If I get a coat, just get a fire gun with it. Right.
This is happening in all of our brains collectively in common, or is this actually coming into our sound holes?
It's coming into your brains, in whatever language you're most comfortable with.
Can you say it again for me, Brad?
Yep. The world unseen of things desired, the mind's own realm by hope inspired.
Well, I think you can dream stuff in this one.
Mm.
No, you tried that at every level, right?
Well, I mean, it kind of worked last time.
How did it work last time?
Well, I made lots of eagle noises and they appeared.
That was after we had already heard eagle noises, though.
Yeah. Sasha doesn't think like that. Positivity. It's all about it. So she goes, okay. And she thinks about what she wants and what she hopes and sees if that like helps.
Okay. She just has a good think. Nothing happens.
Okay.
I look around. Do I see anything other than unicorn guts and like endless pavement?
As you look at the unicorn, you see that its pieces start to sort of disappear. Like they sort of rain upwards and then become one with the night sky.
Hey, check on your horn.
Oh yeah, better still have that horn.
I'm gonna be kind and say it's still there. You now own a unicorn horn.
Nice.
Sick. We should have eaten the unicorn now.
Yeah, we should have. What was there?
Okay. Well, I'm just gonna walk in the opposite direction to the portal.
Sasha would not have joined you in eating a unicorn.
Gross. You have crispy liver.
Also, that unicorn was a huge asshole.
I mean, literally, Ragnar is still covered in its viscera at this point. There ain't no showers on this little pathway, so.
Well, let's just start walking. There's like a golden paw print or something we have to collect.
Sasha says the word hope out loud in celestial, hoping that might do something.
You hear just this voice in your head that says, no.
Bitch. I got nothing.
I think we have to kill each other until there's only one left.
This is what I wanted.
Yeah.
Alright, yeah, I'm just going to start walking in the other direction. See if there's another portal here somewhere.
Nah, this, it's a puzzle. It's a riddle. We have to solve it.
What's the thing again?
Something, hope.
Yeah. We're trying hope, so that's a battle.
That's the gist of it. Yeah, so the woman's voice says, every time you sort of approach the portal, it plays again in your head, so it's like a repeating message. The world unseen of things desired, the mind's own realm by hope inspired.
Do you have to close the eyes? Can I close my eyes and walk into the portal?
Yeah.
Does it do stuff?
Does you, it hurt given? You hurt your nose and fall over.
That sucks. Alright, worth a go.
The world unseen by mind's desire. No, I got nothing. No idea.
I think we just have to reach a place free of pain or desire through meditation.
Well, she says that loud in response to the lady who said no in her head. And she's saying all of this in Celestial. It's just like, well, my hope is to see my parents again. And I don't know how to do this other than buy this. Isn't that what we're here for?
Is this purely Harry Potter rules this round?
No. What do you mean?
Alright, it's had very Harry Potter kind of...
No, the voice says back, if you were worthy, you would know.
Oh, that's true. If we were.
We're not worthy, so we're fucked.
We're not worthy!
Oh god, it's the end game.
Kydron, you are a very intelligent guy, so yeah. You're probably good at problem solving and riddles and things. I'll give you an intelligence, if you roll an intelligence check.
Oh, you're fucking joking me.
Who's got... Have we got the heart still?
Eight. No, it didn't.
You got an eight.
Got an eight. Yeah. You got
nothing.
Is this voice, is it someone saying it or is it a recording?
You can't tell. It sounds like the same every time. So it might be a recording or it might be a person saying it every time, but exactly the same way.
Can I get an insight roll on the voice?
Okay. The voice, it sounds friendly. It sounds like it wants you to succeed. And it definitely doesn't sound like it's some evil overlord who's like, haha, you're failing my puzzle.
It's got to be something about Freylin. Right? Because this is Freylin's world.
Well, we don't expect sure of that, to be honest.
So by now the path is completely empty again, right? We can't see any guts or whatever.
That's right.
It's just vanishes to a grey dot somewhere in the horizon.
Yep.
Both ends. And the portal takes up the entirety of the path, so we can't walk around it.
That's right.
Sasha says out loud in Celestial in frustration, so not particularly like religiously. She guides us always. Just trying, like when you like trying various passwords.
Yeah. I say friend in Elvish.
Yeah.
Speak friend and enter. The voice responds to Sasha's saying and says, I do.
Oh, god damn it, I'm talking to Freylin. This is not helpful. And I say that out loud. So I'm like, all you hear is, she guides us always, and then god damn it, I'm talking to Freylin.
Didn't I ask her for a bit of guidance then?
I cast guidance.
Wow!
I was hoping that an impact of Cloud dying was that we all had permanent guidance on us.
Do you say that as Kydron?
No, we never go to again.
Still don't know what the fuck's happened to him.
I close my eyes and try and make a butterfly appear. I'm running at him.
Okay, roll a religion check. See if you can manifest this.
Oh, it's an 18. That seems good. Plus 3, 21.
Yeah, a little purple and yellow butterfly appears in front of you, and it sort of flits about and then flies away.
Weird.
Okay.
Rad, make an intelligence check.
Oh, mate, that's not my best check.
Kill him.
I'm trying to find my stat. It's a plus one. 14?
Okay. You have a little brainstorm, and with this, with even though you don't know much about this religion, Sasha saying, like, this is Vraylin, right? Vraylin, something Vraylin. You know that Vraylin is the god of dreams.
Right, I get
to sleep. And you have a think about the riddle and what Vraylin is and what you, little you know about it.
Alright, well, yeah, I get out my sleeping roll. Do I have my baggage here, right?
Yes, you've got all of your normal inventory.
Right, I attempt to have a long rest.
You just go. Okay. You just lie down on the path and go to sleep?
Yeah.
Okay.
Am I asleep now?
Sure. You lie down and you go to sleep. Unless the others bother you.
Right. Don't bother me, you dicks. I'm going to the land of dreams.
You say that?
Yeah.
Okay. As soon as the word dreams leaves your lips, the portal glows gold.
I'm sleeping. I need my hit points. This is a real speak friend in this situation, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Alright, can someone drag me in my sleeping bag through the portal?
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say, you probably weigh more than both of us. We'd probably both have to drag you.
That's all good. I'm asleep, I don't care.
We're going to have to wake up.
All right.
I attempt to drag you. I don't get very far, and then I kick you in the head.
All right. I wake up and I'm like, "Is it? Did we dream it?" Then I see the portal, and it's like, "All right, let's go."
You did it accidentally. I was really trying to.
Did we go through?
Yeah, I go through.
God damn it! I'm tired. Dreams.
Sweet. Yep, you go through, so you walk through into a space that again looks exactly the same, except now there's no path. So you're just standing on nothing. You're standing on, like, the night sky itself. And so you're all hovering as if, you know, like there's an invisible floor, and standing very, very still, like almost statue-like, about 20 feet away from you is a tall elven woman with lightly tanned skin, pale lavender hair, and enormous bright purple butterfly wings. And her eyes are closed, and she appears to be, like, either asleep or in some kind of deep meditation or concentration.
I think I know who this is.
Steve?
This is the centaur we ordered. Right, I hang back because this is not really my thing.
Sasha, you're the Vraylin expert.
Not really. Jules knows a little bit about Vraylin.
Yeah.
Sasha
only
really.
Learned a little bit on the boat from one of the sailors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess Kydron will try a religion check then, see if he knows who this is.
Okay.
I feel like we would all know who this is, seeing as I've already said a couple of times I'm speaking to Vraylin and stuff.
Yeah, true. Okay.
And we were in her temple with all the butterflies and shit.
Yeah, fair enough. Just killed her favourite pets. Hopefully you and I aren't crystal covered in their guts.
You are, a little bit.
Great. Sheepish.
So Sasha would say it, and being being a bit overwhelmed with everything that's happened to her in the last few days, would sort of drop to her knees and say, Vraylin. Like, kind of just not really knowing what else to say.
Yeah. I get that. That's a good response. Just be like, just say the name. Like, that's, like, what else can I say? She cocks one eye open, and then, like, just to study the three of you, and then closes it again, and then she just says, dreamers. Welcome. Thank you.
In common?
She's speaking, she's moving her lips, and it sounds to your ears like common. It sounds to Kydron and Sasha like whatever language they're most comfortable with.
Mm, which would probably be Elvish for me. Or who knows, Draconic.
I'd say it's an odd welcome.
Yeah, she gives no response to that. The fact that she's standing sort of dead still and isn't speaking much, and when she is speaking, she says very slow words. It sounds like everything she's doing is very deliberate.
Did we catch you at a bad time?
Do you say that?
Yeah, why not? It's a little thing wrapped up.
She says, I am always wrapped in the fabric of fate.
Can you tell us about the fate?
Yeah, me too, relatable.
I know, right? Social media's got us mad FOMO. Fate book.
Fred, no, please.
You've had that in your back pocket for a while to bust out, haven't you?
For about 12 seconds, I've been sitting on that one.
You can tell.
And she says, I owe you a debt of gratitude. It has been millennia since the stone were returned. Your journey is noble, although you must be warned.
What warned?
The girl who travels with you.
Kalani?
The young one. Yes, she has a dark soul.
I know.
She almost never dreams. And when she does, it's just darkness and smoke. I don't know what that means, but it can't be good. The girl has no hope in her heart.
We still need her, though.
The world needs her.
It'll have to be her. Yeah, but what's the point in giving the surge power to somebody that can't handle it?
Without somebody to handle the surge, the world explodes. So, it's kind of a catch-22. We all die.
And then she just stands silent as if waiting for you to do whatever you need to do.
Jules is trying not to minigame. How have we helped?
You have restored my connection to the material realm to its full strength. Now I can liaise with the other returned gods.
The other returned gods? Question mark.
Yes, there are many now. More than there have been for a very long time.
Why?
The stones get lost by time. It happens. Never before have all 12 been seated at once. Now, to the three of you, that what she just said would be a big surprise, because everyone knows it's a well-established fact there are 11 gods.
Right.
But there's 12. Who's the 12th god?
It's a friend who made along the way.
Yeah, and Sasha is sitting there ticking them off on her fingers. She's going like Fraylin, Zinth, Sigdaman, Leoman, Grimm, Urzak, Brun, Keshta, Sorgamore, Tratora, Haydet. Hang on a minute. That's 11.
She says, ah, yes, you're reading the wiki.
Yes, correct, Fraylin. That's how I remembered about She Guides Us Always.
You're reading the wiki, yet you still couldn't do the riddle. Nice.
I know, I was thinking, I was stuck on hope, all right, for some reason.
Yeah.
Because it's in the thing.
Yeah, after you rattle off the 11 known gods, she says, oh, yes, I forgot, most mortals have forgotten the 12th god. Here, let me show you something. And She, without opening her eyes, she sort of lifts up her left hand and just waves it, and the scene changes to like the holodeck in Star Trek, where you get, or like the computer screens actually in Minority Report, where you've got like lots of moving bits and pieces on a display.
Is that like the what happened in the Dragon Temple? Like the dragon thing that we saw?
That was a lot simpler. That was just like a holographic orb showing still images.
Yeah.
Okay. But what she brings up is like a full-on hologram around you, like surrounding you, so you're in amongst it. And it depicts a scene of a circle with 12 points on it. There are 12 gods. Each has its own realm. And then each of the 12 points around the circle glow one at a time, just as if to say, like, here's one, here's one, here's one, here's one, like that. Each god has a realm of their own. You're in mine right now. And then one of them glows purple and then fades. Each god realm has thousands of sub-realms where chaos bleeds into dreams, bleeds into life, death bleeds into lies, etc. There is one realm where all 12 gods have a presence. And then this dot, green dot in the center, glows really bright. She says, you call it Ison. The god you've forgotten, its name is Krover. You call it the Surge.
Oh.
It is the god of power.
How can we stop Krover from wrecking all of our shit for every dozen years?
Well, that's just what the other gods and I have been, well, we can now meet to discuss. It's what I'm trying to discuss with them now. Sorghumul, Haydet, Zinth, Tritora. We have a plan, although something like this has never been tried before, and it will require the power of all of the other 11 gods.
Okay.
No mortal knows this.
Yep, that explains season 4. Sorry. Sasha totally says that out loud.
And that's the plot of chapter 4.
Alright, good, nice. Can you send us back to Ison?
If you are done here, then most certainly.
Tell us about Claire. Where is he?
Oh, your friend, Arathis.
What did I never really got his name?
Cloud. Cloud.
His real name is Cloud's real name is Arathis Moonsword.
Yeah.
No, the one that's silly.
So you ask where he went, and she says, Arathis Moonsword is from another world, outside of our planar system. He has no place in the celestial cosmos that we know. His arrival here, against his wishes, opened a nexus between his world, Elysia, and Ison. He was ripped from his bride on the day of his wedding and thrust into a strange new world. His fate was irreparably altered. Upon you and he opening the door to my realm, the realm of dreams, realm of fate, as it were, he was granted a one-time offer to return to his former life. He opted to do so.
Fair call.
When you return to your bodies in the material realm, you'll find he is no longer with you.
Is that where I was?
You, Sasha, are a special case. You were in Elysia, but you are not from Elysia.
Am I from here?
Yes. You were born in Ison 16,000 years ago.
It's so ages, man.
Oh, man.
How can that be?
Travel through time. Oh, fine.
Got pretty sleepy for a long time.
Yeah.
Your parents were wielders. They received the power of the Surge. And they used it to defeat a very powerful foe. I I've seen your dreams. I know you've found the temple in Magus that told you the story of your parents.
It's impossible to believe when I know I'm as young as I am. To hear that I'm as old as I am.
You have not lived those years. They cast the most powerful spell this world has ever seen to both first banish you to another world at another time, and then to banish hundreds of millions of living things from the world that hide
behind
in hibernation.
The brute wall. Just wait, does Sasha know that?
Yes, actually Mukadidi told you guys that he was guarding, his tribe guards something called the Brute Wall.
Yeah, he did. Oh, that's why I had it written down.
Many, many lives were put on permanent hold behind that wall, including your parents.
My parents?
They banished everything with draconic blood in its veins, including themselves.
But why? Why would they banish themselves?
It was all or nothing. They made a great sacrifice to protect the world from a never-ending evil. But in doing so, they ended their own lives and many, many other innocent lives in the process.
This just doesn't make any sense. Why would the world be harmed by draconic blood, says Jules. Says Sasha, should I say.
One of the offshoots from Krover, one of its two manifestations in this world, is a being called Gilliff. It is immortal. It dies, it's reborn, it dies, it is reborn.
Wait, is that one that we've met that sent us on this mission?
No.
You met Anfa. Mm-hmm. Oh, you met a woman. Right. You met a woman called Taryn, but she is Anfa, the other side of Krover.
Right.
So basically, outside of game, the god of power, Krover, manifests itself in two beings. One is power by compassion, and one is power by conquest.
Right. So we've met the nice one and not the nasty one.
Yeah. You basically met the power of love.
Aww.
In fact. In this campaign, the Surge campaign, we met the nice one. In the Resistance campaign, we met the nasty one. So we've met them both, technically. But obviously not on podcast.
Yeah, so this big hologram of, like, the 12 god realms and all the other realms and then Ice in the middle all sort of just, like, vanishes away.
You told me why... You didn't finish telling me why draconic blood was bad.
The sticks, right?
Gilliff, every time it dies, it resurrects as the most dominant or predominant species on the planet. As long as dragon blood existed, as long as dragons and similar creatures walked Ison, Gilliff could come back as its most powerful form, Cactanar, an ancient red dragon emperor. Your parents fought Cactanar multiple times, and in the end they decided the only way to rid the world of Cactanar permanently was to remove dragon's blood from the world as if it had never been.
But they didn't get Gilliff when they did this.
They got Gilliff's body at the time, Cactanar.
Okay.
So when Gilliff was resurrected, dragon blood was no longer an option. It resurrected as a human.
So with dragon blood being back, and she looks straight at Fraylin, knowing Fraylin knows she has dragon blood.
She opens both of her eyes for the first time and stares straight at you, and her irises are purple and, like, very hauntingly beautiful. And she says, "We don't know."
And that's the end of the episode.
Hey, and unicorn go splat. That's something I never thought I'd see in this game, but I dig it. I dig it. And they met Freylin, the god of dreams. Whoa, that's pretty epic. And she just dumped a whole lot of exposition and world building on them, including the reveal that there are actually, drumroll please, 12 gods, not 11. Boom, tiny mortal minds blown. Oh, and even the gods have no idea what's going to happen now that Sasha has brought dragon's blood back to the world after all these millennia. Insert big scary dramatic sound. A whopping big smoochy kiss thank you to our Patreon supporters, Alex White Robinson, Person Who Wants to Stay Anonymous, Robert Baldino, Irene Cucci, Laura Christine Goodwin, James Blyster, Sai J. Hodgkins, Laura Douglas, Mel Zickler, Roger Offmata, Sam Malcolm, Kydra Faust, Laura Flake, Kai Dielov, and Rihanna Kavelsik. You're the type of cool people who eat other cool people for breakfast. You're like super cool. If anybody else wants to learn how to be super cool as well, maybe check out our reward tiers over at patreon.com/fateofison. Smiley face. And don't forget to hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Those are all at fateofison, or email fateofison@gmail.com. Or as I mentioned at the start, come on over to the Necropodicon Discord server and chat with us in real time. We're there all the time. Well, I am. Like, all the time. There's a link to that on our website, fateofison.com. And there's fan art and links to the wiki and stuff like that as well. Alrighty, see you later. Thanks for listening. We will see you in 2020.
This podcast is part of the Necropodicon Network.
Hey.
Huh?
You.
Me?
Yeah, you. Are you tired of watching the same multi-billion dollar films over and over again?
I sure am.
What if I were to tell you that there are movies out there that you have never seen before but are also entertaining?
I would say that I wouldn't believe you because you're all big old fibber.
Don't just sit there with your thumb up your butt. Listen to Bad Rad Movies Podcast.
Warning, many of these films may not actually be entertaining. In fact, it is all subjective. If you feel like these subjective films are not to your liking, well, then miss something else, because we will not be responsible for anything that might happen to you after you have watched these films.
Wow, I better go listen to the podcast right now.
That sounds just like me. Wow.